There's an asymmetry to this stuff.
The saxophonist Charles McPherson.
It's the balance of tension and release rhythmically. When the balance is maintained, if that's really happening the way it should happen, there's no getting used to it. It's a bunch of surprises all over the place.
In addition to using intricate rhythms, bebop musicians figured out how to make extremely fast passages become melodies. Earlier musicians couldn't conceive of something very, very fast being melodic. They played slower melodies. When you hear bebop, you're hearing all kind of stuff with higher notes, altered ninths, 11ths, and 13ths, stuff that even sounds much harder than it is. You're going to check out bebop's rhythmic invention, melodic sophistication, and expanded harmonies in full flower as Charles McPherson and the band play Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie's Anthropology.
Thank you. wonderful Charles McPherson. Charles.
That was Anthropology by Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie, Bird and Diz. We featured solos by James Moody on tenor, Roy Hargrove on trumpet, Charles McPherson on alto saxophone, and Renee Rosnitz on piano. Todd Kuhlman was on the bass, with Adam Nussbaum on drums.
Bebop players are usually great ballad players. I mean, Bird was a great ballad player.
While bebop requires a deep knowledge of music theory, voice reading, ability to play fast, slow, and every tempo in between, so much stuff, it can't sound labored. Roy Hargrove makes it look easy on Kurt Vile's enchanting Speak Low. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roy.
Speak low when you speak of love. Roy Hargrove sticking close to the melody, playing it beautiful, beautiful sound with great rhythm. The rhythm section was Renee Rosnes on piano, Todd Kuhlman on bass, and Adam Nussbaum on drums. Here's a fact that always warms the hearts of struggling student musicians. When Charlie Parker first started playing in public, he wasn't very good at all. He tried hard, but as a teenager in the mid-1930s, he just didn't quite have it together to hang with the great players in Kansas City. People like Buck Clayton, Lester Young, giants. In fact, at a jam session one time, the legendary Count Basie drummer Joe Jones, Papa Joe Jones, actually threw a cymbal at Bird while he was soloing. Well, it's a good thing the cymbal didn't hit him. But in spite of his embarrassment, Bird didn't quit. Instead, he got more serious. He practiced and practiced and practiced. Practicing changes a person.
In fact, he was run off many, many bandstands, many times.
Jazz writer Stanley Crouch.
At a certain point, Parker showed what most geniuses of his sort have, which is an ability, once he began to concentrate on things, to learn at an extraordinary velocity. As Ernest Hemingway pointed out, a genius is not a person who doesn't work hard, it's just that the genius learns faster.
Parker turned rejection into drive and propelled his technique far beyond where anyone in jazz had ever been able to go before. In his 1946 recording of Dizzy Gillespie's A Night in Tunisia, his rhythmically perfect improvisation over the unusually long four-bar solo break has stunned and intimidated saxophone players ever since. Not just saxophone players, everybody. Let's listen to how our special guest soloist Paquito de Rivera tackles that famous solo on his clarinet. Ironically, the clarinet's an instrument that fell out of favor in the late 40s because neither Bird nor Diaz played clarinet. The clarinet with all of those keys is just as suited to playing fast as any other instrument. Here's Paquito to show us how it should be done. Thank you. In avoiding substance abuse, and also with his onstage and offstage clowning, Dizzy Gillespie was just about the opposite of the stoic and self-destructive Charlie Parker. But the music they made together has inspired generations of musicians. Bebop. When you say the name, it evokes those two personalities. They were both very courageous men at a time when being a black musician or entertainer meant playing subservient roles.
You know, Dizzy was a very intellectual person.
Saxophonist Jimmy Heath, who joined the Dizzy Gillespie Big Band in 1949.
You know, he came from an era that was, you're talking about serious Uncle Tom style. I think the bebop musicians had an air of dignity about them that hadn't been achieved other than Duke Ellington, maybe, and some of the big bands, trying to give the music some dignity and its place in the overall musics of the world.
But as serious as his musicianship was, Gillespie insisted on joking around on stage.
Shake out your horner and corner, eating some Christmas pie, stuck into some, put out a plum, what a great...
Well, I think he always would say that he has to enjoy what he's doing, and those are the things he did when he was off the stage. You know, Dizzy was always laughing and having a good time off the stage. And that was him. That was just his style. It happened to be his personality at the same time. That's why they called him Dizzy.
Now I think Dizzy's combination of virtuosity and humor will guide James Moody and Roberta Gamberini as they scat through this song. It's one that Dizzy interpreted so brilliantly. Ooh, Papa Da.
Thank you. Bawa upa pedang.
Paquito De Rivera.
Roberta Gamberini and James Moody singing Babs Brown's Ooh Papa Da. Paquito De Rivera soloed on clarinet with Charles McPherson on alto sax. Roy Hargrove was just burning it up on the trumpet. The musicians who created bebop had all come of age hearing swing music, blues, and of course the early jazz masters. But in the cities where jazz grew, they also heard the work of poets and playwrights and modernist composers. Saxophonist Phil Woods.
So-called bebop was also a philosophical change in music, away from the regimentation of the big bands all wearing the same uniforms. Was more awareness about all the other kinds of music. I remember reading in Downbeat that Charlie Parker listened to Schoenberg, so I went out and immediately bought some Schoenberg. I heard he read Dylan Thomas. So, I mean, there was a certain broadening of the arts that the beboppers brought, because they weren't fools. They were pretty literate men, well-read men, well-studied men. They were not primitives by any means.
And yet Parker, at the height of jazz sophistication, understood that the blues were also sophisticated. He loved where he was from, Kansas City, the home of swing.
So here's a guy who played a lot of notes, who was a virtuoso, but at the same time, he's one of the greatest blues players ever. And the same with Dizzy Gillespie. They were multi-dimensional as artists and as musicians.
On stage at Rose Hall, bebop legend James Moody is back with his eloquent saxophone and vocalist Roberta Gamberini. The lyrics are by Carl Sigmund. The ballad is one Tad Dameron wrote for Sarah Vaughan, If You Could See Me Now.
We had some words and parted. The feelings were intense. Now in the calm of the blue day after, did it all make sense? If you could see me now, you'd know how blue I've been. One look is all you'd need to see the mood I'm in. Perhaps then you'd I'm still in love with you. If you could see me now, you'd find me being brave and trying awfully hard to make my tears be. But that's quite impossible. I'm still in love with you. You'll happen my way on some memorable day, and the month will be made for a while. I'll try to smile, but can I play the part without my heart behind the smile? The way I feel for you, I the look of love is written plainly in my eyes. I think you'd be mine again if you could see. Thank you.
Roberta Gamberini with James Moody, If You Could See Me Now. In the 1957 record Sunny Side Up, Dizzy Gillespie played with two of the most formidable young saxophonists inspired by bebop, Sonny Stitt and Sonny Rollins. Decades later, a music student in Turin, Italy named Roberta Gamberini transcribed each of their solos on that recording, and in the vocalese style inspired by Eddie Jefferson and John Hendricks, created lyrics. She brought those virtuosic lyrics to our stage at the House of Swing.
Come on, guess that you go walking on the side of the street. Just get ready to be right down the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a bitter bell that coughs? Ooh, that happy tune is your step. Life can be so divine. Right down the sunny side of life. Show me a bit, boy, a bit. Show me a bit, some more, more, boy, a bit. Show me a bit, some more, more, boy, a bit. Show me a bit. And if you'd ever go, you surely get what you need. Just direct your feet right down the sunny side of life, the very sunny. Come on, come on. I know for sure there is a way to be on the sunny side of life. All that you have to do is listen to the sound that goes on to say, Come on and just see what happens. That happy sound that's coming on is the sound of a tenor saxophone played without a whistle by Mr. Sunny Stitt. Oh no, coming from the south, oh, I do it all just to be the sunny side. Shut up, oh, up, up, there it comes. I love his sound to sing a song, but I'm sure he knows Dizzy. So blow. Can't you hear that bitter, better, bitter, better sound? Or that bitter, better sound is like a tapping sound. A sound of joy lingering on, over and out. Can't you hear the sound of joy and happiness coming over? We're getting to the stars. Shum to ya, booby, and bitter, and did up, did up, you are my Louis, lead up, shitty up, fucking down. Go rap, never come for you. Never ever give it up, cause you'll get a lot of money on the sunny side of the street. You'll never get away till you stand there. So take my clothes, jump to have a ball. Cause I got a bitch when I say that I really go, man, if I get my way, they take my walk on the wonderful side of the rumors. It's all that I really do search and I want it to get along.
Jimmy McHugh and Dorothy Fields on the Sunny Side of the Street. Roberta Gamberini's vocals were based on solos by Sonny Stitt, Dizzy Gillespie, and Sonny Rollins. We featured James Moody on tenor, Roy Hargrove on trumpet, Renee Rosnes played piano, Todd Kuhlman was on bass with Adam Nussbaum on drums. Our special guests were Charles McPherson on alto with Paquito de Rivera on clarinet. If you missed any part of this show, hear it again. You can always bring home the swing at jalc.org. Jazz and Lincoln Center Radio is produced at Murray Street. This edition was written by Andrew Rosenblum. Our producers are David Gorin and Stephen Rath with Simon Rattner. The recordings were made by Rob McCumber with Jeff Rothman and Zach Berkman at FNL Music XM Productions. Our thanks to Chris Roos and Emily Rubin. The executive director of Jazz at Lincoln Center is Adrian Ellis. I'm Wynton Marsalis.